Blog Talk Radio.
I need you to get on your feet. It's about to go down. Come on, get on your feet. Here we go, y'all.
I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do. 'Cause I need you more and more.
Come on.
I need you, Lord.
Come on, put your hands together if that's your prayer tonight.
Praise God, praise God. Praise God tonight. We thank God for when God chases us. Thank God to say, Lord, I'm chasing after you no matter what I have to do. And just to be close to you, Lord God, we begin to thank you, God, for the ability this morning, this evening, this night, you know, that you woke us up with fresh blood running warm through our veins, the activity of our limbs. And God, just right now, Father, that we say, I'm chasing after you, Father. So how are you doing today? I'm blessed and highly favored and highly flavored. But I thank God that I'm above the ground. And there are so many that tonight that not above ground, that didn't even make it to where you've made it to today. Some were in accidents, some were murdered, some were just had a bad fate. But tonight, you just say, I'm grateful to God because that's not my portion tonight. Oh, we just want to thank you. We thank you for traveling mercies. We thank you for how you keep us here under the shadow of your almighty wings, Father. We just can't thank you enough, God. We can't praise you enough. We can't worship you enough. We don't have enough tongues. We don't have enough hands. We don't have enough hearts to lift up. I mean, but tonight, Father, we can praise you. Tonight we can say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I worship you. David said, that's a dear plentiful water, so does my heart thirst for you. So tonight we can thirst for the Lord tonight. And I'm just trying to say, get a thirst and a hunger for your Lord and your personal Savior, your God. Oh, my God, we thank you right now, Father. We just begin to praise you right now. And we repent, Father, this night. We repent for the things that we've said, done, thought against your will, against your way, that has grieved your Holy Spirit in any such way, Father. We repent, God, for our actions, our reactions, our desires, our beliefs that was contrary to what you have put forth before us, Father. We just say, God, accept us, Father, as your children. Accept us as your servants, God. Accept us as we accept you as our Lord and our personal Savior, as our Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, let us, God, begin to just get closer to you, Father. Just even closer, just get closer to you. How many tonight just want to get close to you, God? I just want to get close to you. I want to get next to you, God. I want to be as intimate with you as I've ever been, Father. I want to get into you, God, intimacy, into me, God. Father, get into me so we can say, hey, there's one in three, God. I'm the Father and the Father in me. And Father, I begin to thank you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, just to get closer to you, God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God chases us. We're going to chase after them tonight. We're going to chase after them tonight. Father, we thank you right now. We praise you and we worship you. We praise you and we worship you. We be chasing after so many different things. And we chase after money. And we chase after relationships, whether it's a woman or whether it's a man, whatever it is. We chase after dreams. We chase after ideas. We chase after fantasies. But tonight, I'm telling you, you need to chase after God. Make God your all in all tonight. We chase after material things. We begin to chase after gold and diamonds and these things we continue to chase after. When God said these things will be added unto you. So we got to understand that we chase him. Lord, I chase you. Lord, I thirst for you. Lord, I hunger for you. Lord, I'm grabbing. I'm reaching out for you, God. And we just thank him for it in advance. We thank him for it in advance. We thank him for it in advance. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, we're going to move forward tonight. Get your hearts prepared to receive the words of inspiration from none other than my queen, Evangelist Maria Flint. She's going to bless us all. So be ready. I'm telling you, God takes us. God is calling you tonight.
Praise God. I'm chasing after him. Hallelujah. Lord, I am chasing after you. No one else will do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just want to take a moment just to praise God, just to say hallelujah and praise his holy name because he is worthy. We know that God has done so much for us on today just alone, just by waking us up this morning. He didn't have to do it, but he did. So we thank God for him doing what he does, and that's he blesses, and he's always taking care of us, and he's always just showing the miraculous. And we're thanking God for him on today. And he says, when you seek my face, put aside thoughts of everything else. I am above all as well as in all. Your communion with me transcends both time and circumstances. Be prepared to be blessed bountifully by my presence, for I am a God of unlimited abundance. Open wide your heart and mind to receive more and more of me. When your joy in me meets my joy in you, there are fireworks of heavenly ecstasy. This is eternal life here and now, a tiny foretaste of what awaits you in the life to come. Now, you see only a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then you will see face to face. We have three scriptures, the first one coming from Psalms 27:8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. 1 Corinthians 13:12, now we see both a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Praise God, praise God. God wants us to see his face. Glory to God. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it may sound like, seek his face and get more and more of him. Let's be God chasers on tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's be God chasers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God for that word. We praise God. I told you she's got something for you. We just begin to thank him for it. We begin to praise him for it. We begin to worship him for it. Heavenly Father, we just begin to thank you right now, Father. We praise you and we worship you and we magnify your name, Father. Father, we decrease, Father, that you increase, Father. We ask you to begin to have your way in our lives, Father. Father, we just say, hey, hallelujah. Father, it's all of you and none of us right now, Father. Let your Holy Spirit begin to take over. Let it begin to bless us, God. Let us begin to hear what the Lord is saying and hearken to the voice of the Lord. We begin to thank you right now, God, for your word tonight. We begin to thank you, Lord God, for your direction and for your instructions, Father. And we just give you honor and glory and praise, Father, that it's all of you and none of us, God. All of you, none of me, but more of you and less of us, Father. We begin to thank you right now. Holy Spirit, have your way, God. Touch anyone that this word is destined to touch, God, that is destined to heal, deliver, set free. Cut loose, God, break bondages, God, and you said that the anointing of the Lord destroys the yoke, God, so let it become to be a destroyer, God, of yoke, God. Let it be a destroyer, God, of barrenness, God. Let it be a destroyer, God, of those that are dealing with brokenness, Father. We begin to thank you right now, and God, let it heal that which needs to be healed, Father. We give you honor, God, glory, and praise. In your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy and righteous name, we pray, and so it is.
Inside of you.
but you don't recognize my voice, cause you won't put away your worldly ways and take the time to know me.
Captivity captive. You know, we deal with a lot of things. We deal with a lot of burdens. We deal with illnesses. You got people that deal with poverty. We deal with the sicknesses in our body. And even to the point where we name it and we claim it and give it possession. My blood pressure, or my diabetes, or my gout acting up. All these different things that begin to take captive of our lives. And we talk about the generational curses and the bloodlines that we come from. And we begin to just say, okay, well, my dad was this, so my mama was that. And even the things that you speak of your children, you just like your daddy, or you just like your mama. She was a harlot, you're going to be a harlot. He was a no good so-and-so and so-and-so, you're going to be a no good so-and-so and so-and-so. And these are the things that we just continue to go over, and we begin to see that our lives take shape into the things that we speak in the negativity and in the light of negativity, and then we see our lives be formed in our negative image of ourselves or the negative perception that others have of us or speak over our lives, and we accept it. But again, tonight I'm saying we're going to take captivity captive, but how do I do that? And how do I do it in changing myself? See, we talked about it, but then after that, I'm going to tell you how God flipped everything on me tonight. So I was on that, and he gave me a full sermon. I mean, I can go so, but he told me tonight, he said, family first. And what does that mean to you tonight? What does family first actually mean to you? And how many people that you have siblings and parents and friends and relatives and those that are very close to your children, you make a decision. When you made that decision to choose God, you lost some things. So we know we say, but Paul said, I count it all lost. I count it all done just to have the glory of God, just to be in this place I am with God, just to say that I count it all joy that I live with God. He said, to live with God is Christ, is gain, and to suffer. You know what I mean? So to be in this position where I can be with God, where I can be no longer a slave to the world, but if I'm a slave to him or if I'm in chains with him, and see, but this brought about a change, but in this change, I lost some things. I lost some friends. I lost loved ones. I lost siblings. I lost my family that I call family. But God said family first. And so I went to Matthew 12, the 48th chapter, right? I'm going to start in the 46th verse, though. It's Matthew 12, verse 46, I'm sorry. It said, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brother stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then the one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So when you go and you begin to look at it, we're talking about family first. Sometimes you got to be welcome to a new family. You get welcome into when you come into the kingdom of God, when you come into the knowledge of who you are and who he is and whose you are. When you come to that and say, Lord, I'm saved. When you begin to say, Lord, accept me as your child and as your servant, and I accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior. Then he said, you welcome in. When you say, Abba, Father, I belong to you, then you begin to belong to a whole nother family. See, I'm talking about tonight, I want to talk about, when we're talking about family first, I want to begin to talk about this kingdom family. I want you to talk about, okay, yeah, I got blood, siblings, I got my mother, my father, I got all this biological stuff, but I want to talk about some kingdom tonight. I want to talk about, he said, he that hears the voice of my Father, he that hearkens to the word of my Father. Ask yourself, is my living in the things that I do every day when I wake up and I go throughout my day, how much what I'm doing pleasing God? How much of what I'm doing is in the will of the Father? He said, he said that, who is my mother and who is my father? And who is my brother? And who is my sisters? I'm sorry. And he said, and he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother. Here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So I asked him, like, what will are you doing? Are you performing your will? Are you performing your fleshly desires? Or are you performing the Father in heaven's will for your life when you look up, when you wake up in the morning? How much praise do you give him? We're talking about I'm chasing after you. And he said, I hear you say that you love me, but why don't you obey me? So are you hearkening to the voice of God? I know that I have to repent tonight myself because there's so much more that I, George Flint, can be doing for the Father that I'm not. I got a lot that I do in George's will that's outside of God's will. Why? Because I say I have my own desire. I have my own purpose driven. But when I begin to say, hey, I'm saying things like feel the Holy Spirit to do the will of God, then I got to get past just lip service. And when we look at family first, he's talking about the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we talked about it last week. We were talking about that's the few, then you. I've got to stop being the you, and I've got to be a part of the few. And see, when I say the few, then I look at that's my family. When I look at people, we drive down the street, you see people in tents, you see people homeless, you see people laying out in stores and stuff. I'm like, man, what else can I do to help them? Or when I look at these young children's lives and I see how their lives are right now being so infiltrated with so much immorality and so much filth. And I'm like, what else can I do? You know, what more can I do, God? What is it that you would have me to do, Father? Why am I not longer being an instrument of justice and of righteousness? Why am I just being just, I can do this and I can do that and I can move and I can shake and I can make things happen for my family? Who is my family? And who is my brother? And who is my sister? And who is my mother? Because I've seen when I changed my life to serve you, Lord, a lot of people turned their backs on me. So is that still my family? Or do I search for the new family that you said we are a royal priesthood, a royal and peculiar people? Who is my family? And who do I say family first to? Who do I apply these terms to? As my brother and my sister and my mother. And I see, I was able to say, hey, if you're not, watch this. And my children can do it to me. Dad, you get outside the will of God. Then I can say, you're not my father. You know what I mean? You're in my family. Because my children, my family, he said, those are my family. That's my mama. That's my brother. That's my sister. Why? The one that hear the voice of the Lord and follow his will. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's my mother. And then we can go to Proverbs and it says that. Watch what it says in Proverbs 18th chapter, right? Proverbs 17 and 17. But Proverbs 18 and 24 tells us what, ladies and gentlemen? It tells us that there's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What does that mean? I can tell you something. Young men, that when we first started with the AAU program, we started, and a group came in up under us, the Robert family, Eric, Emmanuel, and Leon. My brother Leon, I'm talking about, that's a brother. And when they came, the person that brought them left the situation. I tell you, man, people can leave. People will leave, and you can lose. And they left the situation. They left Eric, and I didn't really know Eric. But guess what I said? He stayed around. We came, and, man, listen, when I tell you the family that we have bonded, how that has become such a family, you can't tear it apart. Years and years later, this kid, and whatever God has allowed me to impart into him, my wife imparted into them, and what they've imparted back, you can't take that away. You can't take away what God has put down. No way in the world. My God, son BJ, you can't take these things away. These are things that by me being in the will of God, just doing certain things, like, and you think it's just one thing, and God does it in a whole other way to change a whole lot of other people's lives. And then you're like, okay, now I'm in the will of God. But then I've abandoned something that I thought I was supposed to be doing. But that's when you realize that, man, there's souls involved. There's young men lives involved. So when you can tell a young man, hey, man, put up your pants, and they can respect you saying that. Me and my wife were together the other day, and there was a young man wearing his pants all the way down to his pants to the back of his knees. I'm talking about, if he walked any more further, they'll be on his ankles. And they're walking through the mall like that. And I'm just trying to say, man, where did we get our children so lost that this is cool? To just walk and show your butt. I remember when people say, you got that, you showing your butt, that means, you know, you cutting up. That don't mean there was nothing good about that. That means you're going to get some discipline coming. But these kids walk and show their butt literally. And nobody want to step in and say anything because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to offend parents. We don't want to offend the children. We don't want to offend this and that. We're so much cowards, but we got all this power. We're so tough, and we're so much this and so much that. But we're not trying to see some Holy Ghost punks. And so now that's why, who is my family? That's why the LGBTQ can take people churches and take people buildings, because you won't stand for what you stood for. But we got such a compromising spirit that this is what has taken place. The evangelicals compromising, the bishops and the pastors and the evangelists compromising. You know, even with the same-sex marriages, we were, okay, it's cool to have a gay bishop. Okay, that's a lie from the pits of hell. But we go with that because we don't want to be offensive to nobody. Christ didn't care. He called them brood of vipers. You vipers, you snakes, you serpents. He cussed them out, man. And why we don't have that same righteous indignation? Because we don't belong. We don't know where we belong, so we can't say who our family is. But I'm telling you tonight, God said family first. And family first means kingdom of God first. So tonight, ask yourself, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? And then go to Matthew 12, the 48th chapter, and answer it like the same way Jesus answered it. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. It's simple. If my mama got outside the will of God, I would tell her the same thing. And there have been times we had this conversation. When I said, you're out of the will of God. So guess what? I'm not answering to this. I'm not responding to you this way. You're out of the will of the Father. So you're like, you gotta obey your mama. That was the word. I said, who my mama? I quoted the same scripture. Family first, though. But guess what? Family first means that you gotta be in the will of the Father. And it started with me. I got to be in the will of the Father. He's given me a mandate, and I gotta fulfill it. I can do a lot of different things. I'm very creative. I'm blessed with different gifts and talents and skills to do certain things, to maneuver certain ways. But it's time to say, Paul said, and it's Pharisees, I was the chief of the Pharisees. But to receive this salvation that I have, to receive this position that I have, I count it all done. Let's look at Genesis 11 chapter. Then going to the 12th chapter. That's okay. Let's look at this. I'm in the 27th verse. It said, this is the genealogy This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land. And Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. And the name of Abraham's wife, Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, and the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife. And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now look at the 12th chapter. Says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God said, look at Samuel in front. He said, get out of the country, from your family, and from your father's house. So now, who is my family? When God said, after this, I'm going to make you something different. He said, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you. So not only that, did I move you from the family, but I made you the family. I made you the head of the family. See, God, man, when you begin to get in the will of God, oh, man, all things become possible. We live in a realm of nothing is not obtainable, where nothing is impossible. All things are possible when you get into the will of God. When you begin to understand who is my family, and you understand that family first means the kingdom of God, and when you begin to understand that know ye not that you are the children of the Most High and living God, and the God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or speak, all ask or think, and you say, who is that? That's my daddy. When he said that, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. If I was thirsty, I wouldn't tell you. Why? Because I own cattle on a thousand cattle. You know, the cattle on a thousand hills. I own all that stuff. He said, man, the earth is mine, is my footstool. You know, the heaven is mine, and the earth is my footstool. You know, and he's saying that all that is mine. You know, dude said, I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire. My father's rich in the houses and land, and I'm his heir. I'm the heir to a throne. He said, the meek shall inherit the earth, but I'm telling you, I'm a part of a family that I have an inheritance that is due me, because I'm a part of a royal family. So why am I continuing to eat crumbs when that's not my family that I don't even belong to? But now I got to make sure that I put my family first. See, right now I have not been putting my family first. I've been putting me first. Let's be honest with yourself. When you wake up in the morning, what are your thoughts? Is it like, Lord, what can I do for you? Or is it, what do I need to do for my household, for my family, for my bills to get paid, for my lights to stay on, for my rent to get paid, for me to put some gas in the car? What's your first thoughts? Be truthful. Or is that, Lord, point me in the direction of somebody that needs you, somebody needs a word from you, somebody needs to hear from you, somebody is sick right now. They say, come by here, my Lord, come by here. Am I really thinking that? Am I saying somebody needs you, Lord, come by here? Or somebody praying, Lord, come by here? Somebody on their sick bed, Lord, come by here? Am I thinking those things? Somebody in the penitentiary, Lord, in here, or somebody contemplating suicide right now, Lord, come by here, Lord. Somebody about the OD, God, come by here, Lord. Somebody about OD on push the milk or finna pop another molly, or and Lord, come by here, Lord. Somebody on push the milk, Lord, saying, I'm going to kill myself on this one. Come by here. Somebody said, tonight I feel like I'm going to hurt somebody. I want to just hurt somebody. I'm so angry. I'm so mad. I'm so mad. The next person I see, I'm going to punch him. Or the next person I see, I'm going to shoot him. Come by here, Lord. No, I'm not thinking those things. I'm thinking, how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm thinking, how I'm going to close my next deal. I'm thinking, who should I call that can help me put this thing together? And the whole time around me, I'm looking at souls dying. I'm looking at graveyards and cemeteries with so much potential. All the potential, that's where it is, because there's so many people with untapped potential. But so many books that hadn't been written, so many songs hadn't been sung, so many stories hadn't been told, so many pains have been painted, so many lives hadn't been reached, and they're all in the cemetery because we haven't done our job. We have not thought that those are God's children as well. Though until they receive him as their Lord and personal Savior, they're just a creation. See, we are just creations. Because Christ said, man, you look just like your daddy, the devil. See, there's different families you can belong to. As I said, who do I belong to? Is Satan my daddy or is God my daddy? See, you can belong to any family you want to belong to. Believe me, the Satanists and the Luciferians, they know who they belong to. The quote-unquote stuff y'all talking about Illuminati and all that stuff online now, they know who they belong to. Those that are satanic ritualists and marine spirits, and I'm going to talk about it, the marine spirits, the mermaids. And look at this, I'm going to tell you how this stuff go on. You even got children wearing mermaid stuff. I want to be a mermaid. They even got the Little Mermaid, they're doing another movie, and got all the little black people being in it like that's tradition. That's the money. That's straight from the pits of hell. Even the stuff you've been wearing, your perfume and some of our clothes, we look at it and we know. They know who they belong to. They know who they sacrifice their life to, their soul to. They know what that what they sacrifice, their influence for what they're getting. And then they say, well, I'm going to do my job. I bought in. You got the answer. You got the power. And you won't buy in. I'm talking to me, I ain't talking to nobody else but yours tonight. You won't surrender. You won't give me your all. You won't trust me with your all. Because you got to figure this out. And you got to figure that out. And you got to work this out. But I've already worked it out, says the Lord. But you don't trust your family. So you can't put your family first. You got to put your family first. But he said, he that loves his wife and loves his son and loves his daughter, and loves his mama more than me. You can't be with me. You can't be with me. If you love these things, you love your own life more than you love me, you're going to lose it. But he that loses his life, my God, will gain eternal life and be a part of a family so phenomenal, so awesome, so magnificent, so wonderful. I'm telling you, this is where we are. This is where we are right now, ladies and gentlemen. And this is who we are. This is who we become. Ask yourself tonight, have I made a decision to hate my life in this world so that I can have life eternal? Or do I love my life so much that I'm willing to risk it all? And I've abandoned the call on my life and not become the chosen few and not a part of the assembly, so I can't bear seed that God has made me to bear that in his image, because I no longer want to accept being in his image and no longer want to accept the family members that's in his image, but I want to be just like that goat or that wolf that she slaughtered. See, that goat presents itself just like a ram, just like a lamb, until he take off his mask and show you who he really is. Ask your family members, amen, is my living in vain? Am I walking in vain? Am I talking in vain? Am I working in vain? Jesus said, I must do the will of him that sent me. And if he must do the will of him that sent me, and we constantly saying, I want to be changed into his likeness. And I'm changed into his likeness. I'm made in the image of God, and I'm going to be just like Christ. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I'm walking just like them. Who are you doing? And who sent you? Because we could be doing somebody's will, and somebody could have sent you. But as you said, who sent me, and who will am I doing? Am I doing the same way that Jesus did? Because guess what? When you do that, you don't have to work it out. You just walk it out. You walk it out. He said, and walk in the works. We walk in the works. He said, well, you trying to work it out. I don't work it out. All you got to walk in the works. Walk in it. Walk in it. I look at David and Jonathan. Jonathan, when you know who your family is, you can tell some other stuff. Lost. Jonathan was Saul's son, knowing that he was going to be the heir to the throne. But he knew what God had on David's life. And he counted his friendship with David so much that he disregarded his own father, because he realized, who is my father? Who is my mother? Who is my sister? Who is my brother? And this was before the Holy Spirit. He said, he that does the will of the Father that has sent us. He said he knew that was something special about David. He knew something about God. And he saw it. He said, that's who God has yoked me with. See, sometimes we got to yoke. We can't continue to yoke ourselves with unbelievers. We can't continue to yoke. That's why I said, do not be unequally yoked. That thing is serious. We begin to get yoked with unbelievers. We begin to get yoked in our minds, yoked in business, yoked in thoughts, yoked in relationships. And we begin to have what we call, not only is it a stronghold, but it becomes a strong tie that needs to be broken. We begin to get these soul ties, I meant to say, a soul tie that needs to be broken, because we get so connected to certain people. We get so attached, and we wonder why it's draining me and why I'm so drained, and because now I'm allowing them to begin to take from me and pull virtue out of me because I've yoked myself up with them. You got to know who you're yoked to, and I'm just talking to me tonight. I'm not nobody else but George. And you got to know who you say, hey, that's my brother, that's my sister. I used to be so free to say, hey, that's brother. Or tell my daughter, that's your old right now. But I had to realize that, hey, I can't keep saying that. I can't keep giving that title to people that is not a part of this royal family. Because we begin to be cool, or we begin to fellowship, and we people, and we boy, but I can't keep saying that. I can't be freely letting that stuff come out of my mouth, because those people, I study, and I look at certain people that want what God has for you. They want what God, okay, they're looking at it and say, oh, God is blessing him. I don't want him to be blessed no more. And if your faith not strong enough, then their faith can, because God moved by faith. See, you look at the people in the world, you're like, dang, how they getting it? Because they're doing kingdom principles, no matter if it's right or wrong. God say, hey, my word won't be mocked. What about man sow up, that shall he also reap? So these things happening, and they use these kingdom principles, and they thrive, and you begin to yoke yourself up with it, because we get so confused, watch, thinking that prosperity or having items, having material items, mean they're doing good. But tell me why so many of them committing suicide. If that means you happy, why so many of them so miserable? Because they haven't found what you actually have access to, but actually denying. And that's denying the family first. What family am I talking about? I'm talking about the family that he has told you that you have been into, adopted into, and a royal family. He said, well, you are able to say, Abba, Father, I belong to you. He said, he has adopted you. And you have been engrafted in. Not only have you been engrafted in, but first of all, because you are the chosen people. Not only do we not know who we are, not only do we not know whose we are, that's why we don't know where we belong to. We don't know what, you don't know what you belong, because you don't know who you are, whose you are. So how can you be a part of this family? He said, they'd rather believe a lie than believe the truth. So I put forth a strong delusion before them. Ask God, open your eyes, open my heart, open my mind, God. I'm tired of being in the dark. I'm tired of being blind. I'm tired of being deaf and dumb and stupid. You know, I'm tired of these things. You know, I need to open my eyes, Lord, so I can see. I need to see who's with me, who's really with me, God. Who's really on my side? He said, if God be for you, who can be against you? I need to know, God, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I need to know, God, who's really for me and who's against me? God, who really want to see me do well and who, God, wish the bad on me? I need to know, God, so I need to draw a line in the sand. So I need to know. See, I had a lot of friends, when even when I was in ministry, and when I began to get closer to you, God, when I began to even study Hebrew, when I began to begin to know you as Yeshua HaMashiach and Yahweh and all these different things, they started talking about, man, Jordan lost his mind. The man, the boy, Jesus, crazy. He done lost his mind, man. Yeah, he talking. He was saying, ain't no Jesus no more. And they weren't even in the alphabet back then. And all these different things. But I'm saying, God, when I get closer to you, you begin to reveal the snakes. I mean, the eagles, right? When they get, they don't go south for the winter. They fly over the storm. And when more they fly over the storm, stuff begin to shed off. So I'm telling you, we got to get a higher altitude so some of this other stuff can fall off of us. Some of these attitudes can fall off. Some of these attachments can fall off. A lot of things need to fall off so then you can know who's your family. And then you can get your assignment and rescue those. He said that I built the church with the stones that the builders rejected. It's so many rejected stones that's out there that's waiting for you to be the laborer. To say something to them, to say, man, that is purpose in you. There is destiny in you. You are awesome. You are magnificent. You are wonderful. Don't you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and God has so much for you? Why are you continuing to settle for this when God says you are that? Well, you know, it's time for us to be encouraged. It's time for us to be some cheerleaders. Not only just cheerleaders, but it's time for us to be active and not only just a fan, but now you got to get in the game. And the social media just chastised me a few days ago when I'm like, hey, man, what you doing? Yeah, you got the blog talk. Yeah. Yeah, you witnesses to me. Yeah, you on the prayer line. Yeah. You need the church thing. Yeah. But what are you doing? And don't say it ain't your season. Don't say it ain't your time to get up and help someone. There is so much ministry in you. There is so much deliverance in you. There is so much power in you. In the laying on of your hands and in the prophetic anointing and the anointing that to be a preacher, a pastor for pastors. All these things are on you. And what are you doing? Why are you sitting there laying dormant? Get some up under that tree. Like you Jonah or somebody, like you angry and you mad. Get about your business. Look at us, we starving out here. Look at us, man, we struggling out here. We need a word. We need the truth. And you got it inside of you, and you holding back. What's wrong with you? Yet you're talking about family first. You're talking about my wife, my children. They need this. They need me. What about the rest of us? Boy, you saved. You good. You saved. You sanctified. You filled with the Holy Spirit. You good. If you die tonight, you might be all right. But what about us? Watchman, you say your name, so man, I mean watchman. That means if you see a man lost in his way, that you're going to sound the alarm. You ain't sounding no alarm. You letting us fall by the wayside. But you say family first. Yeah, you talked about abomination. Yeah, you said the same-sex marriage. Yeah, you talk about it. Burn Babylon. Free the church of Babylon. Where I go after that then? If I feed the church of Babylon, where will I run to? Where I'm going? The churches ain't got no home for me, and they just as bad. You know, I talk about that. You talk about the pastors have committed, you know, rituals for and have made themselves available to Satan for influence where they can lay hands on people thinking they're recovering. But what they're actually doing is putting another demon in them, but taking a smaller demon out. And come on, man. I'm going to quit counseling you, but I'm going to take out that bad cold you got. You talk about it, but what you going to do? How you say that you love me, why won't you obey me? How you say that you love me? I got people that's dying right next to you. You're like, your next door neighbor needs you. Your kinfolks need you. I know Jesus couldn't do a lot in his own hometown, but guess what? I still got others that will listen, that's waiting on your word, that's inside of you. Yet you say family first. Yet you say you love me. Yet you say you're concerned about loved ones and lost souls. I think there's a bunch of lip service. I pray for my unsaved loved ones that they don't know you, that they need to get to know you. How many of your unsaved loved ones are you really crying out for? How many of them are you really laying out for? How many are you really laying in your closet for? How many are you really denying yourself some plates and denying yourself for them to get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit and miss hell? How many of you are you really bombarding the gates of hell and snatching people back, snatching your family back, snatching your loved ones back, snatching your neighborhoods back? These children that have been ensnared by the culture of gang life. And now the immorality where young women think that it's cool to be a harlot. It's cool to have their legs wide open. It's cool to have a body count where all these different men are laid up in you. It's cool for that. It's cool for a man to say, man, I cut up. Or it's cool for a man to say, I mess with men and women. It's cool for that right now. That's the end thing. And you sit by the side. You're on the sideline just watch. Yes, you say you love me. I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to talk about what they're doing. Well, I got my Jesus. I got my God. What you say for them? If you've done your part and you're good, I'm going to wait down and go to heaven. Go on and get it over with. If you see me sick and you won't say nothing to me, if you see me hungry and you won't give me a bite to eat, if you see me naked, you won't give me no clothes. If you see me homeless and you won't offer me nowhere to lay my head, you just say you love me. I'm in prison, you don't visit me. You don't give me a, you don't fly a kite to me. I'm in the hospital. I'm on my deathbed. You send me to nursing homes. You don't do the things that is needed to say you love me. You're concerned about what I'm concerned about. You feel what I feel. You just say you love me. Your lips say one thing, but your heart is so far away. As far as the north to the south, the east is to the west. If you say family first, I'm not going to just call you a liar. I said, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Repent, you sinner. Fox and Light. I ask for forgiveness. I ain't talking about nobody else tonight. This message ain't for nobody else tonight. I ask for forgiveness, Father, for George Flint. Letting the hungry go hungry. Letting the thirsty go thirsty. Letting the sick be sick. You said that you came for those that need a physician. You didn't come for those that were well. So why I'm hanging out with those as well and not with those that need a physician? And when I told them I hang in the traps, I keep it with the thugs. I still got love for those on drugs. See, your love, I can't tell. Because all I see in is hate. And that's so far from Christ. So stop using his name. And that's what I'm telling myself. Stop using his name and being going to live the life. Stop saying I'm Christ-like. Stop saying I'm the kingdom. Great, you know what I mean? And I'm seeking for you. And I'm certain to say you. If you ain't going to do the work, you ain't going to live that life. If you know what I mean? Stop using his name. Just be the hellion that you are. Go to hell first class. Don't slow boat your way to hell. Look at your hands, too. Got that blood on your hands. I let you bring the blood on my hands. Just food for thought tonight. Just food for thought tonight. Come in first. I'm going to forgive us for the times that we've come short, that we've fallen short of your glory. And following sort of your mission. And God, and even though you've given us a vision and we refuse to work as visionaries to change the missionaries, to do the will of him that sent us, we repent tonight. Father, infuse us with power from on high. Lord, make us, shake us, break us. If you had to put us on the potter's wheel, do what you must do. Father, let us be those that destroy yokes. God, let us be the one, God, that will speak, God, to the mountain and it be moved. Let us be the one, God, that lay hands on the sick and they recover. Let us be the ones that cast out demons, God, speak to them, God. And only that, God, let us be the one that say, Satan, come, the person himself come, but he has nothing in me because I belong to you, Father. And, Father, it's you inside of me. So when he knocks on this door, hey, guess what? Nobody's home but Jesus. The Holy Spirit will answer the door. He comes up and says, the Holy Spirit will answer the door. Watch this. I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to end it with. Verse 43 says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places, seeking rest, and he finds none. Then he says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes from seven other spirits. So that's his family. Look at that. More wicked than himself. And they enter into well down. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. All I'm telling you is that when he finds it empty, swept, and put in order, he's not going to find it empty. He's not going to find it swept. And the only thing going to be in order is the Holy Spirit. Because when he knocks on that door, he's going to say, hey, this house is under new management. And you are no longer welcome here. And from that point on, I will be the one that he said, listen here. 46 said, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. And one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For so whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. I want you to look up verse 50 one last time. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, here we're going to do tonight. Anyone on the sound of my voice who want to make a commitment to the Lord, who want to say, God, I need to know who's my brother, my sister, my mother. I want to do the will of the Father. I've stepped outside of your will. I've done some things that's not pleasing to you, Father, and I want to repent right now, and I want to line myself back up with your will, Father. If that's you, you press 1. I recognize you, and we'll begin to pray together. If it's not, if you already got it together, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, and we're going to leave it at that anyway. But Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We thank you, Father, we thank you for saving us, sanctifying us, filling us with your Holy Spirit, delivering us from ourselves, delivering us from wrong thought patterns, wrong mindsets, Father. Father, we thank you, God, that tonight, Father, we have an opportunity to get it right. Father, we've fallen short of your glory, God, but tonight we have a choice to make, and that choice, you said, choose life. Choose death, and you gave us a hint and said, choose life. Tonight we choose life, and we choose our family that is the kingdom of heaven. For you said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things that you're chasing after will be added unto you. So all these additions that we're chasing, all these additions that we've made priority will be added unto you once you do what is the priority, and that's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Father. We choose to seek your kingdom and the righteousness, God, and that family, God, we choose to be a part of, a royal family, a peculiar priesthood. God, that's who we are. We thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory and praise. In your Son Jesus' name we pray, Father. We repent. We ask for forgiveness. We say, save us, sanctify us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, deliver us from ourselves, accept us as your children and your servants, as we accept you tonight as our Lord and our personal Savior. We renounce all sin. We renounce everything that has hindered us from being what you would have us to be, hindered us from moving forward as you would have us to move. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. And so it is. All right, we're at that point where you can press 1 if you want to add to, take away from, give your comment. Anything you want to do, you press 1, you can be recognized. I'll open up your mic, and you can share. If there's anyone who want to do that, press 1 now. If not, the next voice you'll be hearing will be none other than my queen. Give us Maria Plank, give us the benediction. God bless you. I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. Glory to God. What an awesome word. And that one hit home tonight. We praise God for that word. Before we end, I want to pray for my cousin Ann. I just received a text from my cousin Annette. Her twin sister stating that they have her in the hospital. So I would like to ask God to please, whatever is going on with Ann, that you would please heal her body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We are thanking you right now for instant healing, that she'll be able to come home on tonight, that she won't be held into the hospital because we know that she's already healed, because we're speaking into existence that Ann is healed by God's grace, mercy, and healing power. And we are thanking God for it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We know that he's a healer. We know that he does all things. And if we ask, we shall receive. So, God, we have asked that you heal Ann, and now I'm receiving it in, on her behalf for her healing in Jesus' name. Also praying for my mother. Dylan just got a text from her stating that they may have to evacuate. She went to visit a friend in Florida. And they may have to evacuate, so they're gassing up just in case. but we're asking for safety for all those that are dealing with those storms in Louisiana, Florida, I think it's Texas also. So we're asking for protection for each and every person that's dealing with storms and hurricanes and whatever is going on with the weather, Lord. We ask that you keep everybody safe, God. We thank you for no disasters, no tragedies in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So we will benedict now, thanking you all that for your obedience and coming on tonight to be with us. We love you. There's absolutely nothing that you could do about it. We pray blessings upon your life. We thank God for all the miracles and all the praise reports that we'll get on next Thursday night, because we know that God is a wonder-working God, and we're thanking God for greatness, excellence, and victory, because we are a victorious people, and we're thanking God for all the miracles that he's performing. You may not see them right now, but just know that they're happening. And I thank you, Lord God, for the miracles in my life, in my family's life. Family first, you all. Family first. We love you. Have a good night and many blessings to you. In Jesus' name, amen.